Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
Sticky notes, email alerts, a string around your finger. They're just not big enough.
So here's a big reminder from the California Lottery. Tonight's Mega Millions jackpot is over 175 million. Whew. Play now. Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to purchase player client.
Everywhere, all the time. You can never escape us. 15 minutes from now, it'll be your shot again. At $1,000, the keyword contest continues here on KFI. I don't know if it's going to continue much longer. But anyway, the inflation vacation, all you have to do is enter it at the website, KFIAM640.com, and you could possibly get word through email that you're a winner. That'll come up in about 15 minutes. We were on the air live when it began, just after 2 o'clock. Barbara Ferrer sitting there alone in a room, wearing a mask on Zoom.
What did she fear?
A large gathering, I guess, for the first time in a while, of media members who wanted to know, waiting with bated breath, what would be the announcement?
Everyone was
about
on
an
edge.
Indoor mask mandate returning.
Is she gonna make us wear masks again? Is she? I hope so.
We were sent reeling. What are some of the great Times words that they like to use?
Reeling, rocked,
roiled.
Roiled, yes.
Roiled, R-O-I-L.
We were roiled and reeled and rocked.
Well, the announcement was made, and we still have the audio. Here we go.
As I noted last week, any indication that the county would soon be moving to the medium community level would be a good reason to not move forward with universal indoor masking, which is what we are doing today. We will be pausing and not moving forward at this time.
Pausing.
Although we will not be issuing a new health officer order today to require universal indoor masking, the continued high rate of transmission does call on all of us to wear masks indoors in public spaces.
Yes.
In order to help limit
spread. Calls
on.
I'm waiting for my calling.
And I like that she calls it moving forward.
Uh-huh.
No. That's moving backward to go back to the dopey indoor mask mandate. We're not moving forward.
She got her moment. She went on for 45 minutes.
Oh, she did?
Yes.
Oh, taking questions?
Right, yes. But 45 minutes. And it took her about 6-7 minutes just to get to the announcement. And when she got to the announcement, she couldn't even say it clearly. She had to come up with all this wordy verbiage. It's like all you have to say is no mask mandate.
In fact, you just many of the media questions were tongue baths, right?
Well, they always
were very
are.
Appreciative. Yes, of the, yes. Health officer and speaking to them.
See, I haven't understood this. You know, you and I grew up in New York, right, or in the New York area, and you'd watch news conferences or reporters chasing idiot politicians, and they were always aggressive, and they were shouting at questions, elbowing each other. Right, it was like a rugby match, and they were very boisterous and loud. And here you come to LA now in 2022. It's like, oh, Barbara, thank you so much. We really appreciate. We know how stressful it's been and how the long hours that you put in. And for you to give us some time to answer a few questions really means a lot. And I am not exaggerating. That's what they do. I've heard it with my own ears.
Oh, we saw that the first year and the second year.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't paid any attention for a while.
But that's what they always do. They're approaching the throne. Thank you. You're our spiritual leader here. You bless us with your presence. You ensure our continued health.
To understand the tortured number metric nonsense, if you have at least 10 new weekly coronavirus positive hospitalizations for every 100,000 residents, you're considered in the high community spread category. Apparently what happened just today with the latest numbers, we were at 9.7.
Mm.
So as you said, three quarters of a person.
What, did they release one guy?
Or part of him.
They released his bottom third?
But what needs further pointing out is those hospitalization numbers are fake anyway, because they're counting people that tested positive, but they're not in the hospital for coronavirus complications. That's what we're talking about.
That's what the head of the USC Medical Center said, that 90% of the people who are in the USC hospital were admitted for something else, and they coincidentally had COVID. 90% of the, quote, COVID patients were not admitted for COVID. If they didn't have other problems, they'd be home enjoying their cold.
We have 10 million people in L.A. County. Do you know how many people were actually in the hospital in intensive care for coronavirus? And it's interesting, they call this coronavirus positive intensive care unit patients, 147, the whole county.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but that's a 4% increase from the prior week. You see how they do this?
Well,
using the percentages to be alarmed.
It's because it's a joke. It's fake. It's a fake joke. Because originally it was to keep the hospitals from being overloaded, because you saw the scenes in New York City where people were being cared for in parking lots, right? In alleyways, yes, on the street,
yes,
right? They had that gurneys on the street with IV containers and tubes and things. But all right, so we don't have that. We have a smattering of people, and so there's no reason for this. There's no reason to announce the statistics. The statistics have no importance in our lives. There's no reason for a press release, no reason for a press conference, a video, slides, any commentary, any opinions. It's not news. It's just another random medical number along with 100 other reasons you end up in the hospital. It's of no real importance.
Also, what's of no importance is that the coronavirus positive patients in LA County, 1,329. But remember, actually yesterday it was 1,239. That also was a false number because they are including people who are hospitalized for any number of reasons, but they test everybody, and that's the group and the number that tested positive.
It's been proven conclusively that she's using fake numbers. And there's many prominent doctors by name now who went public, right?
I think that was a big factor here.
Well, because
of her finding a way out.
Well, what's the name of the doctor at USC?
Spellman or
Spellberg or something
Spellberg,
like
that? Spellberg, yeah.
Yeah. So he went public. Another doctor at USC Medical Center went public. Dr. Klausner came on our show, went public. He published a piece in the local papers with three other medical officials. They went public. Dr. Monica Gandhi, who's been a guest on our show several times from UC San Francisco, she went public and said this was unnecessary. So all the doctors, you know, the science, are saying this is unnecessary, ridiculous, because The current virus does not produce serious symptoms in the vast, vast majority of people, and we have Paxlovid. So just take that, and you'll get better. So stop it. How many times do you have to say it's over? No emergency.
The county health services director, do you remember this name, is a doctor. Do you remember who that is, John? Christina Galli.
Yes.
Whose husband is that Martian. That I guess is the state health director.
Yeah.
Mark Galli. She said, though, well, the increasing wave of COVID is causing problems in other ways. because a number of hospital staffers are being infected and they can't work. Now, that doesn't mean they're really sick. It's mean they're told to isolate.
You know something? I don't care about all these internal problems. All right?
Well, then they're going to claim then if they have a shortage of staff at the hospitals, that makes it harder to deal with anybody that's
got
COVID problems.
We're not interested in all your claims. You've blown your credibility. You're pushing this one with fake numbers. You work out your internal problems, okay? You go find some temp workers. Hire some guys to give up their Uber gigs, all right? Just to stop it.
I just saw something funny. You know the story we did yesterday, the El Segundo Times special about how Californians are flooding Mexico City? It's getting a lot of attention now, especially on conservative media websites. Because it's like Oppositeville.
Yeah. Well, because
the complaint for years was that Southern Californians who have been here felt pushed out by illegal immigrants. Now we have wealthier Americans going to Mexico City to hang out for a while, and because it's cheaper there and it's nice, and now the locals are complaining.
They don't make
Mexico
you wear
City
masks.
Locals are complaining.
Right. Right. But, because it showed the hypocrisy. You don't see the LA Times calling these local Mexicans a bunch of racists, right?
Right.
It was just white people who are racist because they didn't want people coming who don't speak the language and so forth. Right. That's what's great about that story. It's just human nature not to want outsiders coming in. That's all. It's just hardwired into our system.
We got more coming up. Next up is the word. The word, the keyword that might win you $1,000.
John and Ken Show, KFI.
I was just looking at that story we were mocking before that got a lot of media attention today, that you can come and get free recycled water.
Poo water, yeah.
Is that what it is? It's poo water. I was just looking for that.
I don't know. What it's recycled from? They're not explaining.
It's available at the L.A. Glendale Water Reclamation Plant every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You can get up to 300 gallons. One listener was trying to point out that 300 gallons would be a hefty lot. You can't just...
It's nothing.
That would be a lot to take at one time.
You can't carry that.
No, you'd have to have quite a barge.
Can you imagine the kind of people actually show up to do that?
Well, they showed some people there with their little containers.
Oh, yeah. I want to find a story and see what they look like.
This is the way to get around the watering restrictions. You can come and get extra water for your plants and your trees and your...
Free smelly water.
Garcetti was there and everything.
Of course he was. Did you see they want?
Yeah, I guess it is wastewater.
They want to. Of course, it's wastewater. They put the word recycled.
They purify it to some extent. But
do
I
they?
Guess if you, well, I think so. If you're not going to drink or bathe in it, though, it's probably not incredibly.
What they are
purified.
Did you see they want to bring
that's
back
the word they use, potable,
the toilet to tap idea?
Yeah, that's back, right?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to rethink all these things, right?
Cut off the almond farmers. That'll triple our available water for residents.
I know farmers have been hit with cutbacks, but I don't know that's proportional.
Cut the whole almond industry out. Let's live without almonds. Let China live without almonds.
I want you to go up there with your little buckets and collect this water.
Yeah, you do that.
Deborah Moore can feed her avocados.
That's right. Well, I don't know if I would want.
You don't grow avocados.
Yeah,
you grow. You don't grow anything.
Yes,
do you?
I do. Oh, I actually just had a strawberry from my little garden today.
All right, and you're staying within the watering restrictions, the drought rules.
Mm-hmm.
About the
yes, I am.
Your address is odd or even.
The two of you are so obedient to the government. I'm really impressed.
Corrupt politicians in the news. Look who's come back around. The L.A. City Councilman, Mark Ridley Thomas, who before that was on the Board of Supervisors.
He's not in jail yet?
No, his trial hasn't even come up, and I think he's out. Right, he's free.
That's too bad.
He's suing. He is suing the city of L.A. because they cut off his pay. City Controller Ron Galperin announced not long after Mark Ridley Thomas was charged by the feds in this bribery story when he was on the Board of Supervisors. This is dealing with USC School of Social Work, that in return for some benefits to his son, he steered some contracts towards the School of Social Work in LA.
Basic, ordinary, run-of-the-mill corruption.
It is.
He wanted his son to get a professorship.
Right,
a
scholarship.
A degree. Yeah, a master's degree in nonsense.
Some job with some affiliated nonprofit at the school.
And then Ridley Thomas steers money to the head of the Social Services Department at USC. So it's basic felony bribery, those kinds of charges. And he should have his pay cut off.
So the city council voted to suspend him from council duties. And after that, the controller said, I'm not going to pay him. So the development today is that Ridley Thomas is filing a lawsuit to have a judge strike down the cutoff and pay while he fights the federal corruption.
Well, he can't pay his lawyer bills?
They earn $225,000 a year.
I believe that.
Yep.
And that's not enough.
No. They're calling this a flagrant abuse of authority to cut off his pay.
$225,000, but you know, those USC tuitions, those are very expensive. No way he could afford to send his, what was he, like a 30-year-old son?
Yeah, I think he was. Yeah. Sebastian Ridley Thomas.
His dud son who had left the legislature over
under cloudy conditions.
Yeah, there was some kind of sexual harassment scandal, I think.
Right. Now, they've done this before. They terminated the pay of Weezer when he was on the council, but he got charged with racketeering, bribery, and fraud.
Well, yeah, that's what you do.
He still hasn't been tried yet on that, but he didn't fight that.
Oh, Ridley Thomas is a belligerent old fool.
And the weird story that followed this is that they appointed Herb Wesson to replace Ridley Thomas on the council, but a judge threw that out too, saying that he could not serve. And
he was term limited out.
Right.
So you don't get a bonus term. Once you've served your maximum time, you don't get to come in through the back door.
But before he was removed, Wesson fired the top aides to Ridley Thomas. And it looks like some chief of staff now is serving as the caretaker of the district.
Hey, you know
they
what?
Don't have anybody for that.
It's the people in that district. It's their fault.
So did Mitch Englander go down, Jose Weezer go down, Ridley Thomas go down. That is the LA City Council.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your city government at work for you.
That's 20% of the city council in or on their way to jail.
Yeah. Thomas in his lawsuit says he is barred under city law from seeking outside income while he fights the charges. He thinks that Galperin's actions violated the city charter.
Then resign and go get a job. They got help wanted signs in all the 7-Elevens.
Well, that's why I'm confused, because it says under city law he's barred from seeking outside income.
Well,
so
then,
it sounds
then
like
quit.
He can't get another job.
Well, if he quits, he can. See, he didn't quit. He got suspended.
I see. He didn't quit. Right.
So go take another job. Quit.
Yeah.
You're not coming back.
No, he's not coming back.
No, you're not.
I thought the trial was supposed to start next month, but I don't have any update on that. I thought it, I originally remembered reading it was going to be in August.
Just plead guilty. You'll get a lighter sentence, and then you could get back to work. You could get a job flipping burgers somewhere.
All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
I was just watching a video. A New Jersey councilwoman has been caught on video slamming into an Uber Eats cyclist and driving away. I guess the guy's actually okay, but he flips up in the air. She just drives right through the intersection, plows right over him, and drives right away.
Keeps on going?
Oh, yeah. She sped away without even stopping.
Jersey women are tough.
But they pulled out the video from all the cameras that are all located in the streets of many cities now. Jersey City Councilwoman Amy DeGeiss. This happened on July 19th. It's 8 in the morning. This guy's cycling through the intersection.
Oh,
she's
it's
just
a
going,
councilwoman?
Yeah.
Wow.
Jersey City Councilwoman, yeah.
Oh, God.
This 29-year-old Uber Eats deliveryman said that he flew over the car's hood and fell to the ground. Says he's in a lot of pain. Instead of stopping to help, she drove away from the intersection.
There you go.
He was able to stand up because the way that he was hit, the bicycle just kind of flipped over the hood and went flopping. So I guess she was going pretty fast, though. So she's got some explaining to do. And though it does appear she had the right of way, she was given a summons for leaving the scene. Yeah, you can't do that. So
Oh, so he wasn't. Oh, yeah, look at that. I mean,
you know how bicyclists don't stop for anything.
He was biking right down the center of the intersection.
Right.
Well, it's his fault then.
Well, I guess he didn't have a green light, huh?
Yeah, I guess not.
There is a traffic light there.
Yeah, because all the cars
the cars are stopped. Yeah.
They're all stopped behind him. So he was going on his own.
Right.
And, then he did.
Yeah, that almost happened to me the other day when I was running. It was just, when I kind of slowed down at a stop sign, but a bicycle, it's right through it.
So many cyclists. If
I didn't stop or slow down, he probably would have hit me.
I was behind somebody. The bike lane wasn't good enough for them. They actually were driving in my lane in front of me. And there's one of those big green stripes just to the right.
Oh, there was a bike?
Yeah,
oh, I hate that.
No, I hate those people. It's like, how much sympathy am I going
to
have?
Have to share the road with me. Even if I'm only going 20 miles an hour.
This guy passed up all the cars that were waiting at the red light, and he blew past them. And then
she was coming through the green light.
Yes.
And she plowed them.
She had the right
of way. But you still have to stop. You can't.
And do what? What are you going to do?
Help. What? You may have killed him.
He's okay.
That's why we have hit and run laws. No? You're even against that now? Oh, you become an incredible libertarian.
Well, here's the thing
about... You're on your own.
Here's the thing about hit and run.
Yeah.
I don't know if the guy I hit or the guy who hit me is going to kill me if I get out of the car. Because I had a situation like that once, and I just kept going. It was a minor bump because I didn't like the look of the guy or the other people in the car.
All right, but that's different than plowing over a guy on a bike and sending him over your hood who could be injured badly. So
next time,
do have to make sure.
Hey, don't go through the red light.
Well, you make an instant judge and jury decision.
Well, I mean, whose fault was
you
that?
You went through the red light. I had the right of way. I ain't stopping.
She had a green light. He had a red light. Does he think's good? Why do you not go through red lights? Because of that.
Well, pedestrians are protected that even if they don't have the right of way, if you hit them, you're going to be liable. So you got to watch that.
All right, well.
It was a couple of great nuggets in a story from CNBC about the port workers. The headline is, a West Coast port worker union is fighting robots. This is dealing with, of course, automation at the ports, which has been a point of contention with the port backups. Because clearly, if you have machines unloading the ships, it might go faster and more efficiently than waiting for the guy who, it's my break. I'll come back later.
It's my break. Is it time for my break? Are you on break? I'm on break.
In 1993, a Dutch port complex in Rotterdam became the first to introduce machine automation and has since become the model for a fully automated terminal, most of which emerged in the 2010s, but they're emerging in Asia and Europe, not so much in the U.S. So what they're talking about is
the U.S. has unions. They have things like the Teamsters.
And in this case, it's the International Longshore and Warehouse Union, the ILWU. They are presently negotiating with the port. They're called the Pacific Maritime Association, which represents 70 shipping companies and port and terminal operators. And they've been deadlocked in contract negotiations. Apparently, the contract expired some time ago. 22,000 longshoremen in 22 ports and terminals up and down the West Coast. And what we find out, by the way, their contract enacted in 2015 did expire on July 1. Both sides have talked about a work slowdown or stoppage, but they're claiming that's not going to happen. However, and for years now, the Maritime Association would like more automation at the ports. Obviously, the ILWU is against that, and their workers average $195,000 a year plus benefits.
Right. Can you imagine
that? These are the best paid union workers in the country.
All right. So
nearly $200,000.
In a rational, efficient world, obviously, you'd automate. Because part of the reason we have the supply chain problems and the huge backups is because it's much slower to have people loading and unloading.
Yes.
And moving. So if you want things to move quickly and make it much less expensive, use automation.
And they're saying in this story, there could still be jobs. There are jobs that are associated with automation that some of these people could slide into.
Some of them, yeah. I mean, there aren't as many jobs as now as port workers. But yeah, some of them you could retrain to work the robots.
Right.
And, you know, I guess theoretically there's robot factories that would be hiring.
Yeah, the distinguished fully automated refers to various equipment that handles containers, cranes, and yard tractors. They don't require human operators on board. Instead, they're remotely operated by humans in control towers who monitor screens and cameras. Mm. So that's what we're talking about.
Well, you know, this is going to be the big fight is, you know, everybody likes to get hyped up about the new technology. Can't stop progress. Well, if you're going up against Teamsters or longshoremen, yeah, progress can be stopped. Because
they did agree in 2008 to some automation. But listen to this. In exchange, they got a $900 million addition to their pension fund and other retirement.
Well, you have to bribe them, yeah.
And this was the biggest nugget in the story. The West Coast longshoremen also have a significant financial safety net. The current labor contract includes a pay guarantee that ensures up to 40 hours of weekly income if an eligible member is unable to obtain full-time work for any reason, including automation. This weekly income is guaranteed until retirement. Boy, that is one of the biggest gets I have ever seen in a union contract.
That's a poison pill.
It is. So if they are laid off due to automation, they're still going to get pay for up to 40 hours of weekly income until they retire.
Because the unions don't mind striking. They don't mind shutting down the West Coast ports. They're fine with that. Because they're making $195,000 a year, and you know they can ride out a strike. And the union probably has a huge strike fund. So they have all the power in the world. It's like, hey, you're not going to play ball with us? Fine. We won't show up. And this is like about a third of the economy, third of the export economy comes through L.A. and Long Beach.
Yeah, well, I looked at this and I said, well, what's their fear of automation? They're going to be guaranteed 40 hours of weekly income, even if they're laid off, if they can't find replacement work. But here's the thing. What the union doesn't want is that they're not going to get future members because automation will replace future new workers.
Right, then the union dies.
Eventually it does die because all the workers will eventually retire. And there won't be as many new workers because automation replaces.
Those guys, I imagine, retire young because it's you know, your body
it's
gets
physical.
Beaten up. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So it wouldn't be long before the union withers away.
Right, right. Well, there's an analyst at Berkeley that claims that the fear that automation will hurt union workers is understandable, but it's not the case that leads to a big loss in jobs.
I've had discussions with some people who work in this kind of business, and the thing is like, do you want an efficiently run world, or do you want to cling to the way we did things 100 years ago? But then what do you do with these people? And there's never an answer for that, right?
Right.
What do you do with people whose primary skills in life is physical labor? You could automate almost anything now, probably. So do you get rid of all the guys? It's going to be guys. Sorry, no more physical labor jobs for you. You're just going to, what are you going to do? Service jobs? You're going to make coffee at Starbucks? You know, then what do you have? Well, you have people are really unhappy. Somebody said to me once, well, we'll just send them checks. Give them a universal income.
Just, yeah,
you know, to stay home.
Usually the default answer we're left with.
Right. But it really is. It's the only option. It's like, you know, I don't know if that's a happy place to live in.
All right. We got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
All right. Final reminder that tomorrow the Moist Line is back. You can leave a message at using the iHeartRadio app, the microphone icon, or call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Some are, I like the expression, raising eyebrows. Things must be going okay in Ukraine because the president of Ukraine and his wife sat down and posed for Vogue magazine.
Mm-hmm. Looking very
a photo
stylish.
Shoot. Yes. Was this like Gavin Newsom and his wife?
Yeah.
Well, he's wearing the green sort of military looking, the green shirt and the green pants, but they're holding hands at a table.
Well, that's stylish in Ukraine.
Oh, a further image shows the wife in a full-length gown under a Navy coat as she stands before the bombed-out remains of the world's heaviest aircraft. Oh, I remember, like, the Russians bombed that thing.
Oh, wait, so she did a fashion shoot in front of the bombed-out plane?
Did she
have designers donate the clothes for her to wear in the photo shoot?
She was flanked by a pair of armed soldiers. They shared the pictures on their Instagram account, Vogue did.
And this is supposed to raise the morale of the Ukrainian troops?
I guess so.
Wow.
By the way, Biden had a conversation with the Chinese president. They said it went on for 2 hours. Do you think Biden knew what was going on for 2 hours?
No.
Biden cannot stay focused for 2 hours.
No.
There's no way.
I don't even believe that. It's probably somebody else was talking to the president. You think Biden's going to listen to a translator for 2 hours?
Yeah, that's how it works. Right? Right. Is that why it takes 2 hours? Because they have to spend 20 minutes?
Well, everything has to be said twice.
Twice, right. Right. And then you would really lose your concentration because while he's speaking in his native language, mm-hmm. what are you doing? You're doodling and then here comes the interpretation. Oh, I got to wake up. And,
huh? What'd you say?
And then you answer and you got to wait for that to be translated back. And,
right. And then their answer and that's got to be translated. That's tedious.
Speak English.
Hey, yo, gee.
No, his answer would be speak Mandarin.
Yeah.
We got more of you. The other thing that happened from the dopey political world, three separate groups of Republicans, Democrats, and Independents announced they're coming together under one umbrella, and here it is, a new political party. No? You're going to have the Republicans and Democrats and the Forwards. The Forwards.
The Forwards?
They should have brought back the Whigs. That was a great one, the Whig Party.
The Forwards, that's a kind of an odd name. What are you? I'm a Forward.
I'm a Forward Party.
I don't know.
You know who's in there? Somebody that we're familiar with from the very long days ago of the John and Ken show, Christy Todd Whitman.
Former Jersey governor.
Yeah.
And
a Republican who became
a
Jersey governor.
Andrew Yang, who's kind of annoying.
Yeah, I didn't really follow his campaign too much when he ran.
I didn't
end up doing very... There was a moment, there was a couple of blips where it looked like he was a contender, and then...
He had a bunch of young tech guys into him, and I don't know why. I didn't find anything really interesting about him at all. I didn't know what he was talking about.
Well, I mean, they're claiming, and rightfully so, that the fracturing is so intense now that there has to be some other answer, some other choice for people. But most of the parties have failed.
Yeah, it's hard to get money because fanatics are the ones who finance parties. And you don't get centrist, moderate fanatics.
Centrist, moderate. That's probably true, isn't it?
Yeah. Nobody spends a lot of money on moderate policies. They spend money on extremist policies.
And that's my complaint, because if the fanatics run for office.
Yeah, right. Well, the whole system's designed for crazy.
Look at all the socialist Democrats who have taken over L.A. city government.
The system's designed for crazy people. It's not designed to govern. It's to give narcissistic crazy people.
You had your shot to run for governor, and you didn't.
Yeah, well.
We're all disappointed.
Conway's here.
Hey now. One of the four tops is coming on tonight. Lawrence Payton Jr. That's kind of cool, right? The four tops. And also... So
you're going to have one top on.
Well, one of the tops.
Okay.
But, I mean, the four tops are still
playing. All right, tomorrow we'll have the box tops on. We'll beat you.
That's right. Okay. Mega Millions up to $1.1 billion. Another 30...
Oh, even more tomorrow.
$30 million ended. Yeah, it'll probably be more tomorrow.
Oh, it'll be like $1.3 billion.
Third largest jackpot in U.S. history right now.
John's going to buy his ticket. He's assured us, Tim.
Yeah, you gotta, I got to focus when I leave the building. I got to focus.
And then JetBlue is buying Spirit for $12. That seems like a low ball price.
That's a bargain.
Yeah, it seems like I think it's too much.
$70 in fees, though.
That's right.
That's great. And then we have the 6th Street Bridge. They finally voted today. It's coming down. It's too much of a hassle.
Oh, is that right? They're bringing it down?
Yeah,
oh, I love that.
They're going to blow it up.
Yeah, they're going to take it down on Sunday. It was too much.
Yeah, it didn't work out.
Yeah, right.
Make a tunnel.
That's right.
All right,
so that'll be fun to watch.
All right, Conway's coming
Big
up.
Dog.
Let's go.
We got it.
Crozier is the news.
Crozier is the news. Big
dog. HD2 Los Angeles, Orange County, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.